John, verse 16 to 17, saying, the Bible said, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Samuel and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Amen. Let's go to the same scripture in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. The same story, but Mark didn't bring out certain elements for you to understand that they were not just casting their net. I told you that Mark is good, but I like Luke because he was a physician. Physicians are very particular about details. Now Luke wanted to put the same story there. So it was. As the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a net a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled the whole night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, oh Lord, they caught a great multitude of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the casting of this fish, which had been worn, which they had taken. For he and all, amen. That's verse 9. Okay. So when you go to verse 10, give me verse 10. Let's see what is there. Verse number 10 says, And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now, you will catch men. Amen. The same story, but you understand that there were more to just seeing people casting net. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the face of your neighbor as a neighbor. Don't go back. Don't go back. I'm ministering the subject. They're going back here. I'm ministering the subject of entitled Don't Go Back, Breaking Point. I put an eye for that just to help you to understand that it is not just going back as if you don't care for Jesus. There are things that prepares you to go back. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about folks who are not Christians. I'm talking about folks who are believers. But yes, still Paul talking to them will relate to them as if they are unbelievers. Why? Because there is a tendency or what we call, there is a proclivity that something can prepare you to go back. And that is what I call the breaking point. Say breaking point. Breaking point is a moment of greatest strain at which someone or something gives away. And you will understand that Peter was told to follow Jesus. That's why I want to use the Mark narration of this story. The two most important moments in the life of a person are this: the day you are born and the day you discover the purpose, the day you begin to discover the purpose of your existence. If you don't understand your birth, the purpose of your birth, why you are born, Jesus will tell Judas the same thing I'm going to tell you. He said to Judas, I think you discovered that you were born, which was very good, but you didn't discover the purpose of your birth. Therefore, he concluded and said it would have been better if you were not born. Praise the Lord. So there are two moments of your life, and one you have no control over it, absolutely. But the second one, you can also contribute to that. Amen. Purpose in life is self-fulfilling. When you discover your purpose in life, it has got this automated sense of fulfillment that you receive. So when you discover your purpose, I was listening to one presenter in America, and there was one guy who has made it big time. Back in high school, he broke his leg, and because he broke his leg, he had insurance money coming to him, and his father gave it to him, hoping that he would just squash the money away. But before he concluded high school, he's made hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's moved from that state. He was into shares and investment and stuff. And as a young boy, at the moment, he's a multimillionaire. Praise the Lord. And he's saying that there are times in your life when you want to go after money. But even when you get money, you will notice that it is not fulfilling. This man is not a man who is poor, saying that if you are poor, you don't become fulfilling. He's saying when you follow after money and you get money, still you are not going to be fulfilled. Don't be jealous. Why? Don't say that it is not true. You give me money and you see what will happen to me. Somebody who has gotten there is telling you that this is what it is. So he's saying that it is good to pursue after money. But even when you discover that you have money, he said that I have achieved all my greatest desire in life. I've achieved it. But when I got that which I desired in my life, I discovered that it was not fulfilling. So I started training others to be where I am, or to become more than I am. And I discovered that that is the fulfilling that I obtained in my life. A man called Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate. To have it make somebody different, that you have lived and lived well. It said the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate. To have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well. Another person said the mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. Praise the Lord. So if you don't identify your purpose, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. Somebody be with me. I'm going somewhere. Amen. In Mark chapter 1 verse 16, I'm going to share something that will blow your mind. In Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible said, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea. Praise the Lord. For they were fishermen. And when you look at that story carefully, we know that Peter, according to scriptures, oh, look at what she's giving to me. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for her. Amen. Let's go to 16. Go to 16. Amen. It's good to do mistake and correct it. You are better off than not trying at all. Amen. The Bible said, and you know the story, that the Bible said that when he got there, Peter has caught nothing and he's told the whole night. Come on, say the whole night. Come on, say the whole night. It wasn't, we all know, according to the way we are told. Oh, thank you so much. Put your hands together for this beloved. Amen. Amen. The Bible didn't tell us, or we know that he has got partners, and I've heard many preachers saying many times that Peter was a very skillful fisherman. Yes, he was. And I told you that my late father was into fishing, and he told me that the fishermen can look at the sky. And they can be on the sea and they can look at the sky, and by the color of the sky, they can tell you where the fish were. So this was a man who was knowledgeable, inclined into fishing, and he has toiled the whole night and caught nothing. But the Bible said Jesus met him there, and he said to him, I want you from today. When Jesus made a statement, when Jesus met Peter, it was one of the most greatest opportunity Peter would have ever experienced for his life, or he the greatest joy of his existence was discovered on that day. The Bible said Jesus said to him, from today you will become fishers of men. Why did he retire him from fishing fish? He retired him because he has finished with that project. Let me go down here. When the Bible said that Peter has caught nothing, they were washing their net. But Peter didn't know that even if they should come the following day, they will catch nothing. I will prove it to you in a minute. Peter, Jesus met him and said, from today you will catch no fish. When Jesus had an encounter with this man, he was at a point of nothing. He was useless, hopeless, empty. And when Jesus met him, he said, from today, I want you to follow what I say. Follow me and I will make you. Because it is critical for you to understand that Peter, I will prove to you that Peter, if he should have gone the following day, he will still catch nothing. In Acts chapter 5, verse 38 to 39, Acts chapter 5, 38 to 39, the Bible said, and now I say unto you, keep away from this man and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is not of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. The problem we face in our days is that if somebody do something and there is a bit of growth, then the person conclude that this is where I have to be. I promise you, you can take wrong decisions and you will have feedbacks that look as if that decision was the right decision. When you look at the prodigal son, the Bible said when the prodigal son left his father's house, everything was okay. The first day, things were okay. Second day, things were okay. Everything looked as if everything was okay. But the space of time, there is a point in your life where you will get to when God is not in what you are doing, it refuses and ceases to become something good. The Bible said if you decide to take something evil and walk with it, the thieves that started stealing, the armed robbers, when they started, things were going on. Those who bring cocaine, drugs into the country, when they started, it was moving on as if what they were doing was right. But through the space of time, there was nothing that was beneficial. The Bible said, he said, if it is of God, let's give it a matter of time. If it is of God, it will work. It will move forward. But if it is not of God, it will work. It will move backward. That is why when it's a miracle of the scripture on Friday in Isaiah, she said that God punish those who are doing evil things so that those who want to copy wrongly will know that there is something bad that goes with it. And sometimes I pray to God that sometimes I wish the discipline of God comes instantaneous. Because somebody insulted the parents and nothing happened, but something happened to them afterward. And I have been in the school setting, and I tell my student, the behavior you are showing right now, I have seen one before, and the end of this behavior will never be something profitable. But sometimes it would be better if we get the punishment instantly, so that we can learn from our mistake. The Bible said Peter didn't know that the days of fishing and getting something is over with him. He didn't know. The Bible also talk about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27. The Bible talk about somebody building their house in the sun. When they build their house and their houses were there, everything was okay. The house was looking beautiful. The one who built on the sun didn't spend a lot of time on it. Just quickly, it was done and it was just there. And the person who spent time the whole night and day, toward day and night, that person also had his building there. But the Bible said the storms came. Come on, say the storms. The storms came and one went down and one was still standing. Praise the Lord. What I want to tell somebody this morning is that when you became born again, when you gave your life to Jesus, that was the best moment in your life. When you met Jesus, it was the best moment you will ever get in your life. The reason why it's the best moment of your life is that if God has not met you where he met you, you would have seen the shame of your life. Praise the Lord. Then the Bible said, he said, follow me. To follow means to obey. You are not to obey partially, but you are to obey completely, totally, and utterly, without any deviation. What Jesus was telling Peter, he said, I want you to follow me. And when you follow me by listening to me and obeying you, and obeying me, I will make you. I will do all. I will make you. To follow means to obey absolutely, completely, totally. If you stop obeying, then you automatically cease to follow. You can't follow with your boat and net. Watch out here. The Bible said when Jesus met them, he told them what? Follow me. And the Bible said instantly they left their boat and they left their net. Most of you or some of you don't appreciate what Jesus did by meeting you at the point he met you. You can't walk with Jesus with your boat and net. You can more. I don't want to preach on that one. Say to your neighbor, leave your boat and net. The boat and net are the schemes, your methodology, the way you do things. The Bible says our ways are not his ways. So if you want to follow him, you don't have to follow your old way. If your old way was better, it wouldn't bring it into the shame that you are in today. God is saying to somebody, I want you to leave your boat and I want you to leave your net. Some of you are worrying so much. What would you eat? What would you drink? But if you want to follow him, you have to believe him and follow him completely and totally. Otherwise, he can't make you. If you want him to make you, then give him the chance for him to follow, for you to be followed. If you want to see his glory in your life, you have to allow him to make you. When you go to the potter and you see the potter molding the clay, there are times that the mortar, it goes through difficult times, a moment. And I happen to be at a place where they used to mold cups and stuff. And sometimes for the clay to be more dependent and more durable, they have to put water in it and they have to soak it. It doesn't mean that it has got no purpose, but it is going through a period of time to be softer, to be used for a purpose. And you will discover that the clay, the softer it is, the more it is able to be molded, the shape it needs to be molded. And some of you, it looks as if God has left water on you, and it looks as if God has rejected you, but he's just allowing you to go through some things that when he finishes with you, you will know that he's making you. One of the things you have to understand about those who mold the potter, he doesn't have time to waste clay. The little clay, he keeps them and uses them for something wonderful. So God is not interested in wasting your life because he created you in his own image. If you want to waste your life, it means he wants to waste himself. But God doesn't waste himself. Say to your neighbor, God doesn't waste himself. Oh, be with me. I'm going somewhere. Peter knew boats and net are in obedience to the voice of God. Whatever he's going to rely on is the word of God. Come and say the word of God. When you begin to follow God, and when you had an encounter with Jesus, when you became born again, the things that will make you is the word of God. It is no more in your arms. It is no more in your strength, because by strength shall no man prevail. It is no more by chariots and horses, but victory cometh by the word of God. And there is one prayer I pray day and night. God cannot do what he's not said he will do in your life. So if you want to check the content of what you carry, check what God is saying about you, and you will know the extent to which you are going. Don't look at your current situation, because your current situation is deceptive. But the Bible said that when Joseph had a dream, he was not looking at his physical place. He was looking at the future into his destiny. The Bible said for the joy that was set before him, he set before him. God has set something before you that no man can take away from you. I came to tell you that whatever God has set concerning your life will come to pass, because he watches over his word to bring it to pass. Come on, give your neighbor a high five and say, get ready for a change. I don't know how long you have been down, but I came to tell you, when you became born again, God had a word for your life. And that word has got no limitation. That word has not got any stumbling block. Nothing can hinder that word from coming to pass. It said, before you were a clot of blood in your mother's womb, I ordained you as a prophet. Which means that in spite of your deformities, in spite of what you can see around you, God said, I should tell you, he has already made you before the foundation of the world. Come on, tell yourself, I have a better hope for the future. You have to understand this. It said in John chapter 21 verse 3. I want to read John chapter 21 verse 3. Verse 3 to 6. I want to tell you something there. I want to bring the preaching to an end here. The Bible, I told you from the start that when Peter met Jesus, he didn't know the chapters of his strength were over. When you meet Jesus, when Peter met Jesus, a day before he met Jesus, he went to fishing and caught some fish. Okay? Now when Jesus met him, he has come to a new chapter in his life. And one thing about God is that he's not late. He's always on time. Come on, be with me. So Jesus got there when he needed to be there. But Peter didn't know that from that day, he can't fish with net and boat. That was over with him. Somebody under the sound of my voice. Maybe before you used to sleep with men, nothing happened. But the day you met Jesus, if you go back and do it, it will bring your death. Oh, you have no idea what I'm talking about. There are some things you used to do before. After you met Jesus, if you go back to them, it will kill you than you have ever expected it to kill you. And you ask yourself, why didn't it kill me before? It's because you have not met God yet. Look at what God said. I thought when Peter couldn't fish on that day, I thought it was one day off. I thought it was one off. But later did I discover that it was a permanent thing in the life of Peter. How did I know? Look at what it says here. When Jesus died on the cross and he left the disciples, Simon Peter said to them, I am going to fish it. He's going back. Say to your neighbor, don't go back. When you go back, there's nothing better for you back. It doesn't matter what you go to take, it is still not better. The future is better. That is why I love Ruth and Naomi. It said, entreat me not to go back, because there's nothing back for me. When Lot came out of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, when he came out, the wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Say to your neighbor, don't look back. Just look forward. Hallelujah. The Bible said Peter was told that from today I have changed your profession. He didn't know what was coming. The Bible said, he said, I'm going to fish it. They said to him, we are going with you. Don't follow somebody whose chapters have been closed. Don't follow somebody who has not got the word of God with them. The reason why it would be better to follow David than following Saul is that Saul had got no word with him. The Bible says his kingdom have come to an end, which means the word of God concerning his life have been terminated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Ruth followed Naomi, when she said, your God shall be my God, your people shall be my people, what she was trying to say is that I am willing to follow you, make me. Let your God make me. And the Bible said at one point she was useless. At one point she looked hopeless. But after God finished making her, that which was impossible became possible. Boaz, look, because of this woman's commitment to following and obeying God, the Bible said that Jesus Christ was born through that genealogy. Say to your neighbor, don't go back. When God met you, you were not praying. You were not studying the word. But after he met you, your only legacy is the word of God. I'm finishing. Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five and say he's talking to you. Amen. The Bible said, and I read, and they went out and immediately got into the boat. They got into what they were told not to enter. And that night, read what it says. And that night they go on. They caught nothing. It wasn't that day Jesus met Peter that the moment of catching fish was over. But he thought he could go another time and catch. No. It doesn't work that way. Some of you started following God and now things have become so difficult and you want to go back to the things you used to do. It will bring your shame because the devil has nothing good to give to you. The Bible said they turned the whole night. And the painful thing is that when you walk away from God, you begin to turn the whole. You don't just work during days. You work day and night and still doesn't work. Say to your neighbor, follow him. And the Bible said in the verse number 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciple did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, the Bible said children should do what? Children should obey. That is all. Children don't ask questions, they do what? They obey. Hallelujah. My boy will ask me, daddy, why? I said because I said it. Don't ask me why. It's just because I said it. And the reason why you have to obey God is just because he said it. My boy doesn't dictate to me. I tell him what to do. But in my decision making, I know that one day I will give account of what I'm telling him. So when I ask them, and my student asks me why, say why. Why do you want to move me from this seat to the other? I say, I don't need explanation. I don't need to explain to you because I'm your teacher. Some of you under the sound of my voice, you ask God questions. And the Bible said, have you caught any food? It said, they answered, no. Praise the Lord. I know somebody here under the sound of my voice. I am asking you, when you left what God told you to do, I am asking you, what have you caught so far? When you check in your hands, you will realize that you have caught nothing because it is not fulfilling. The Bible said in the book, before that verse came in John, the Bible said in John chapter 6 verse 68, the Bible said the same man called Simon Peter, before that time he said to the disciples, when Jesus said, many are leaving me, many are going, would you also go? The Bible said in the book of John chapter 6 verse 68, it said, but Simon Peter answered, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. I don't know how many people have deserted God, but the Bible said that through the phase of time and the stress of life, the Bible said this man called Peter, when he was rejected by men, he wanted to please men, therefore he followed Jesus. When you follow Jesus, you have to know that you don't have to please men. The first thing you have to fight if you have to follow God is that you don't have to please man. Say to your neighbor, don't please man. I want to give you three things here, then I'll finish here. Three things. I want to give you a few things here. For you to walk with God, there are things you need to know. Let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2, and I'm finished. The Bible said, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to follow God, you can't follow ungodly advice. Anything that you step, every step you take must be within the confine of the word of God. Every move you move, every step you do must be within the confine of God. The Bible said that he took the counsel of the wrong man. If you take the counsel of the wrong man, you will become useless. In this world, how far you can go depends on who you take counsel from. David has got a man called Ahithophel. The Bible said the counsel of this man was just so sharp, like the counsel of God. But the Bible said immediately this man walked away from David and went to follow Absalom. The Bible said David prayed a prayer and said, let this counsel become foolishness. I don't know where you are getting the source of your energy from. The counsel you receive determine how far you can go. Precious one, really define where you get your counsel from. The second thing is that don't stand in the path of sinners. The way, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way. The way over here talks about methodology. It talks about sequential process. The process that you use to get what you want. Use the right way, like you are in the school setting. If you want to pass your exam, don't go for a poll. Don't go and cheat and seek the question before you answer the questions. The methodology is very important. How did you get what you got? What you have in your hands, how did you get it? I thank God for the life of Peter, that when he went back, he caught nothing. Some of you, I want to tell somebody this. Listen carefully. You have to even thank God for making it not to work when you went astray. Because it would have been more painful for Peter if at that point he caught a fish. Some of you, God is shutting doors on you, not because you have done something evil against anything, not because of any curse, but because you are refusing to follow the voice of God. You have gone back to the same things you said you will not go back on. Don't stand, say to your neighbor, don't stand. He said, no, sit in the seat of scornful. When you sit, it means that, come on, say to your neighbor, don't sit. Where do you sit to think? Where do you sit? But the Bible said the man who followed Jesus, the man who followed God, his delight. I prayed to God and I said, Lord, may I delight in the things that will make me. Some of you, you don't delight in saying, yes, Lord. Some of you, you don't delight in saying, please, praise be to God. Some of you, you don't delight in prayer. Some of you, you don't delight in studying the word of God. If Jesus Christ delighted in certain things, you must also delight in them. Ask your neighbor, what do you delight? Some of you delight to be on Facebook. I'm not condemning Facebook, but Facebook has never made anybody. I want you to understand that when you give your life to Jesus, when you had an encounter with Jesus, Jesus wants to make you. But the only way he can make you is that when you allow him. The Bible said, Peter went back to fishing because he wanted to please men. When he stood in front of Jesus and said, I will not betray you. And he betrayed God. He betrayed Jesus. The Bible said he felt ashamed of himself. How did I know when the angel appeared? They said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that they should wait for me. The Bible said the same man who couldn't move forward in his life, when he came to himself and listened to the voice of God, when he went to wait in Jerusalem, the Bible said the same man spoke and 3,000 men gave their life to Jesus. And the report they gave about this man called Peter, who was a leader. The Bible said, we thought these men were not educated, which means that when you listen to the voice of God, he can cause you to achieve even more than those who haven't educated. I know sometimes you look down on your education. You look down that maybe you are not qualified, you don't have certain skills. You are not educated, you have not gone to school, you don't have a degree. But God said, I should tell you, the making is not in the degree, but it is in the voice of God. Come on, give your neighbor a high five and say, don't go back. It get to a point which is called the breaking point. That when you don't want to even resent God, it get to a point where it look as if you don't bow, if you don't bend the law, if you don't change it a little bit, if you don't accuse somebody, if you don't lie a little bit, there is no way you can move forward. But God said, I should tell you, he doesn't need you to lie to cause him to do what he said he would do in your life. He said, I should tell you that trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. He said, I should tell you, in all your ways acknowledge him. God is about to make you that men who look down upon you will give glory to your God. Come on, give your neighbor a high five and say, please don't go back. It may look as if it's not going to happen, but God said, I should tell you, Jesus Christ has not got a boat, he has not got a net, but the Bible said before they got to the shore, the Bible said there was already made fish waiting for them. God said, I should tell you that you will not see signs of cloud, you will not see signs of rain, but the valley is about to be filled with water. God said, I should tell you that he can make a way where there seems to be no way. Please, he said, I should tell you that don't go back. Come on, say to your neighbor, God said, don't go back. Maybe before you used to lie, maybe before you used to cheat, maybe before you used to gossip, maybe before you used to cheat, maybe before you used to steal, maybe before you rely on your strength, God said, I should tell you that having had an encounter with him, don't go back. Say to your neighbor, please don't go back. The songwriter said, I will not go back. I will not go back to the place I used to be. Because when God met me, he said, I'm moving you forward. When you follow somebody, you go forward, not backward. I don't know who I am here for, but I came here with the voice of God. That God is saying to somebody, I have not called you to bring you into shame. When you go back to your past, I can't do much with you. It's said, get up and move forward. Get up and follow me. I don't know how long you have been waiting, but God said, I should tell you, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but them that trust in the Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion, unmovable, unshakable. I want to ask you today, have you gone back to the things God asked you not to go to? I don't know where you are now, but my question to you, are you moving forward or you are moving backward? Are you still not forgiving people? Because when God met you, he met you with unforgiving spirit. Now he said he has not given you that unforgiving spirit. He said that 70 times 7, I want you to forgive as much as you can. Ask your neighbor, have you gone back yet? I'm going to answer, no, I don't want to go back. I don't know who you are, but I'm here to tell you that please don't go back. Put your hands together for Jesus. It may be difficult. It may be tough, but the back has got nothing for you. The Bible said they tore the whole night. Later did they discover that the purpose of their life have changed. May God change the purpose of your life. Stand on your feet right now. Let me have the singers on the stage. I want you to hold the hand of your neighbor and say, whatever is preparing them, whatever is challenging them to go back, may they not go back. Come on, begin to pray for them. Come on, begin to pray for them. Come on, begin to pray for someone. Come on, begin to pray for them. Come on, begin to pray for them. Come on, begin to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. They will not go back. They will not go back to depend on their strength again. They will not go back to rely on their strength again. There is nothing in the back. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands. May the strength that comes from God, that gives strength to the feeble knee, I pray that may God sustain you, that you not go back. You not go back to laziness. You will not go back to giving up on yourself. You will not give up on yourself, but you will trust in the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for today. I bless you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Whilst you are before God, we are about to have our communion. Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible said in the book of Mark, in the book of John, in Acts chapter 3, the Bible said, Peter and John said, look on us. I pray this day that you will look on the word of God. I bless it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may have the bread. The Bible says he took the wine. And when he took the cup, the Bible says he gave thanks. I pray today, Father, we thank you for this blood. I pray for the divine strength of God to strengthen our feeble knee. As the blood signifies the spirit, may our spirit be revived. May our spirit be revived. May we be sensitive in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, let's have the wine. I want you to have a moment with the Lord before I pray. You want to speak to God. In the next few minutes I'll be praying, but I want you to talk to God. That which you have done may look physical, but I pray that God will show you the revelation that is in this. I pray in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray, talk to God. Begin to talk to God what he shouldn't have been. But may we be like that Peter that followed you to Jerusalem. Strengthen us, O God. When the going get tough, teach us to delight in the things that will strengthen us rather than the things that will discourage us. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take your seat, that we may be a blessing. I pray, God, that as we are giving our tithe, as we are giving our free will offering, bless it.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.